So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text Number 24. Conversation between Manu and Karadam. Na bhai jatu mnishaiva shat. Prajadyaksha maradhanam. Bhavad bideshu atitaram. Mai sangri bidatmanam. Na, not. By, indeed. Jatu, ever. Mrisha, useless. Eva, only. Shat, it may be. Praja, of the living entities. Adyaksha, O leader. Matarhanam, worship of me. Bhavad Bidheshu, unto persons like you. Atitaram, entirely. Mayi, honor me. Sangribita, affixed. Atmanam, of those whose minds. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Sabai Charanarabinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay. The Lord continued, O dear Rishi, leader of the living entities, of those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration. Please repeat. The Lord continued, my dear Rishi, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration. Purport. Even if he has some desires, one engaged in the service of the Lord is never frustrated. Those engaged in his service are called Sakama and Akama. Those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with desires for material enjoyment are called Sakama, and those devotees who have no material desires for sense gratification, but serve the Lord, Supreme Lord, out of spontaneous love for Him, are called Akama. Sakama devotees are divided into four classes: those in distress, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise. Someone worships the Supreme Lord because of bodily or mental distress. Someone else worships the Supreme Lord because he is in need of money. Someone else worships the Lord out of inquisitiveness, to know him as he is. And someone wants to know the Lord as a philosopher can know him, by the research work of his wisdom. There is no frustration for any of these four classes of men. Each is endowed with the desired result of his worship. Humagyan smiranda shajaranjanan shalakaya dakshura mirtandina tasman shri gribi namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shivashari Gaur Bhaktivarinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Translation. The Lord continued, my dear Rishi, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration. So, here we're seeing the magnanimous nature of the Lord. in his he's kindly consented to appear before Kadama Muni and give his benediction to fulfill his desires. And Krishna says he's always willing to fulfill anybody's desire who comes to him, and they will not be frustrated. So in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about these four classes of persons. Krishna is speaking about these in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 16. Chaturvidha bhajanti mam janaha sukritino ajuna arto jigashur atati jnani cha bharattarshava. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service to me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. I read a bit of the purport. Unlike the miscreants, these adherents of the regular principles in the scriptures are called Sukritina, or who obey the rules and regulations of the scriptures. So this Sukritino means pious people, means those following Varnashram, means civilized people. Civilization means Varnashram, it begins at Varnashram. Below Sudra is uncivilized. So civilized people, pious people who are coming to Krishna, to the Lord to relieve them of distress, for some have some desire, then Krishna will fulfill the desires of these people. The unpious people, it's very unlikely that they'll ever want to come to Krishna anyway. Impious people are always dependent on their own abilities to achieve whatever they want in life. So they don't recognize authority. But here, people are recognizing the authority of the Vedas, of the scriptures, the supreme authority of the Vedas. So, therefore, those who follow the Vedic principles are called civilized. So these persons, they come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu defines pure devotion, anya bilashita shunyam, jnana kramadi anavritam, alokina krishnanu, Shilanam Bhakti Rutam. That one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, then they also become pure devotees. So here, these four kinds of people are approaching Krishna. Prabhupada mentions, by the association of a pure devotee, then they can actually become advanced and pure devotees themselves. So this is the idea of the Vedic injunctions, of the Vedic authority. Generally, you have to approach a person in knowledge, an acharya. So the most fortunate persons, they can meet actually a pure devotee. Because there are many acharyas who expound different parts of the Vedas. But most of the Vedas are actually dealing with the three modes of material nature and how to enjoy in the material world or how to get out of the material world. So if one's very fortunate, actually he can meet a pure devotee and he can actually instruct him in pure devotional service. Then he can rise above his own desires and attain the highest perfection of life. So this is the mercy of the by the mercy of the pure devotees. Otherwise, you can never understand simply through these scriptures the actual purpose of the scriptures. Just simply reading the Vedic scriptures is not sufficient. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that one who thinks that that only through Sanskrit language can you actually understand the Vedas is as illusioned as the person who thinks that you can understand the Vedas through any language. He said the Vedas are not meant to be understood through any kind of letters, but they're understood through only through the mouths of the acharyas. The Vedas are given for the acharyas to speak, and then the common people can understand. The people actually cannot approach the Vedas to get knowledge. It's not meant for common people. He has to receive that from the explanation from the acharyas. And especially when you meet the pure devotee acharya, then he can give you the complete science of devotional service. Prabhupada was in Calcutta. Calcutta temple. He was leaving. He was going to the Gaudiya Math, Magh Bazar Gaudiya Math. He wanted to see one of his godbrothers, and they have a very big library there. So Ribhutinanda Swami was with Prabhupada, accompanying Prabhupada. So as they were leaving Calcutta temple, Ribhutinanda said, "When we're there, Prabhupada, can I get a couple of books from their library? I want to get the Brahma Samhita and the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur." And Prabhupada said, "Yeah, you can get." Then he said, "My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said he wrote all these books for me." It's Prabhupada's. He wrote them for me. Because then he can get the proper conclusion. Prabhupada's the acharya, so he can present the proper conclusion of all of that. So the books were for Prabhupada to present to us. Of course, it's difficult for us to read Bhaktisiddhanta's books, some of them, Brahma Samhita, the wording. But actually, he said, Prabhupada said they were for him. Then Prabhupada translated, so it comes out as Krishna book, something very, very, very simple. We can even understand Krishna is right there. So it's revealed only through the acharyas. The Dharma also. The Dharma, you can't understand Navadvipa Dharma, Vrindavan Dharma by your study and wandering around. It's only revealed. It's through in and through the words of the acharya. They can reveal that. And that revelation comes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you have complete faith in the words of the acharya, that they are actually absolute. That is the conviction and faith you should have. If you have that complete faith when the acharya is speaking about the Dharma, he said, you can actually, that'll become manifest. Because his words are absolute, what he's speaking will become manifest in your heart, if you have implicit faith. So this is how the Dharma is revealed, through the acharyas. But you have to have that implicit faith. So as Prabhupada's pointing out, the essential thing is to actually understand from an acharya. So materialistic people, they go, they want some desire, so they're fortunate, they go to an acharya. They want some material benefit, they don't really know what they're doing, but they're fortunate. Simply by the association of devotees, then they can be elevated to the position of pure devotional service. So everybody comes to Krishna, as he's saying here, with different types of desire. Generally, nobody comes to Krishna because he's in love with Krishna. That's what we've forgotten. So we come, we have some particular desire. So here we have the person who is in a suffering condition, the Artha. And the example of Artha is Gajendra, the elephant. He was very distressful condition. He was caught by the crocodile and he's getting weaker and weaker, and he was very, very distressed condition. So he turned to the Lord, and the Lord protected him. So he's an example of a person who comes to Artha. But then he offered so many nice prayers. Actually, he remembered prayers from previous birth. And so he was out to continue his devotional service. And the Arti, the person who wants improvement to enjoy, actually wants enjoyment, material enjoyment. And the example of that is Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father's. It's practically impossible to get. But Krishna arranged for it, even though Dhruva didn't want it. No, he said, I'll give you anyway. You had a desire, I'll fulfill it. So he gave him a kingdom greater than his father. And the and the Jigeshu, they're inquisitive. The example of the Jigeshu who were turning to Krishna for Shunaka and the Rishis, they were gathering at Naimashranga to perform the Jagna. They really didn't know which direction to go. They were seeking, but they... So then Sutta came. Sutta Goswami, he heard from the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva. So let's inquire from him. So then they inquired, and then the Bhagavatam was unfolded. So example of the inquisitive, the Jigishu. And then there's the Jnani, person in knowledge. Generally this means he's Atmarama, self-satisfied, has knowledge of the self. So the example of that is Shukadeva Goswami. Because Shukadeva was in the womb, he didn't bother to come out. He was self-satisfied. I come in or out, this doesn't matter to me because I'm getting pleasure from myself, so might as well stay here in the womb. The four Kumaras also, they were completely self-satisfied. But these people are coming to the Lord, but if they're fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee, then they can make rapid advancement in pure devotional service. Shukadeva was hearing the Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva in the womb. Shunaka was hearing from Sutta. So, Krishna says here, in the next verse, of those, these four people, one who is in full knowledge of me, he's a Jnani, and is always engaged in pure devotional service, he is best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. Next verse. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider him to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. And then after many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So here Krishna is praising the Jnani. As being the best. So, but here Prabhupada in the purple says that the Sakamas, they're full of desires, they are divided into four classes, the distressed, in need of money, inquisitive, and the wise, or the Jnani. So of the best of those, Krishna is saying, is actually the Jnani. So this Jnani, he has Jnana Misra Bhakti, because he's mixed his devotion. And because of the predominance of Bhakti, then he's called a Bhakta. And he has no material desires. His desire was generally liberation is the goal of the jnani. So they don't have material desires. So these persons are considered by Krishna to be as dear as the Lord himself. Because he has given up all of his desires for liberation and merging into the Lord. And also he desires the Lord. He wants the Lord. But because of the influence of Gyan, that he was his process, he prefers a relationship with the Lord in peace. That's predominating of peace, which means Shantaras. Generally the Gyan is they want peace, they like that state where there is no disturbance, etc. Krishna speaks about the yogis. You get to as the lamp doesn't flicker in a windless place. And so this is the kind of idea that the jnanis get in meditation, and the goal to become completely. In other words, no material distraction whatsoever, just complete peace, especially in Brahman, because it's eternal peace. You realize eternality and it's eternal peace. So generally, this is their goal. So because they have that intention, then when they actually come to the bhakti, that desire of being peaceful is quite predominant, and so they prefer a relationship with Krishna in Shantaras. So then they get a relationship. But in Shantaras, practically there's no bhakti. Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahaprabhu says practically there's no bhakti there because there's no relation. They're appreciating the greatness of Shantaras, the presence of the Lord. It's great, it's fantastic, and they're in peace. But there's no actual relationship with the Lord. Bhakti means an exchange of love. So they're just appreciating the aspect of the Lord, the eternal aspect of the Lord, or the Lord himself, even on they may go to the planets of Vaikuntha. And they're appreciating just being there. But they like that position of Shanta. So practically there is no bhakti in that. But still, Krishna is saying here, he's as dear as my own, he's just like my own self. I consider him to be just like my own self. He's so dear to Krishna. Why? Why is he like Krishna's own self? Because he's self-satisfied. And Krishna is also Atmarama. Krishna is self-satisfied. So they're both self-satisfied. So in that sense, Krishna is saying, he's just like my own self. Because he's self-satisfied. But he says, for the Kevalya Bhakti, the pure devotee who comes to me, he's more dear than myself. The Jnani is as dear as myself. But actually the pure devotee, he's even more dear than myself. Krishna says to Uddhava, neither Brahma, Shiva, Balaram, even the goddess of fortune, even myself, they're not as dear to me as you, Uddhava. He has such an intimate friendship with Krishna. Krishna, when he was speaking to the gopis, Shukadeva Goswami, then Krishna decided to dance with the gopis. Although he is Atmarama, he is self-satisfied, still he desired to dance with the gopis. This means that Krishna preferred dancing with the gopis than his own self-satisfaction. He was self-satisfied, but he kindly consented. It was his desire to dance with the gopis. That means they're more dear to his own self. Otherwise, he could have remained in he's self-satisfied. So, here then, which of the four Shakamas are the best? It appears like Krishna is saying the Jnani is best, but he's not. Any of these four karmas who with full knowledge comes to Krishna and surrenders unto him, becomes his pure devotee, he is actually the best. One who comes to the point of complete surrender to Krishna, after many, many births of being a Jnani, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna says here, he can And he can become Drupa. So by the association of a pure devotee, that any of these persons, if they're fortunate enough to be a pure devotee, can be elevated to the position of pure devotion themselves. So all of these can come. So here he's saying in the verse here, for those people who have, especially like you, you've given up everything and you're worshipping me, there's no question of frustration. So it may not be immediate, this. We come to Krishna, we're frustrated. Krishna says, you will never be frustrated. Okay, I'm frustrated. Krishna, Krishna, relieve me, my frustration. He may not do it immediately like that. It may take some time. It may even take many births. So Krishna, from Krishna's angle of vision, he's actually seeing the concern of the jiva. What is in his best, not his bodily situation at the present moment. We're kind of interested in our difficult situation we're in right now. But we're praying relief. So Krishna's actually seeing the soul, because he's the son of Krishna. What's the best for him, you know, to get out of this situation? So it may take some time, just like in Krishna book, Prabhupada says there's different kinds of transcendentalists. There is the yogi, the jnani, and the bhakta. He said, but they all have to wait till they leave their body, till they get their perfection. The jnani, he has to wait to leave before he can merge. The yogi, he has to wait till he leaves his body before he can go wherever he likes in the universe. And the devotee also, he has to wait to leave his body, then he goes back to Goloka, he can see Krishna. So they all have to wait for the end of the body, so we shouldn't be too impatient, this is the idea. Sometimes we kind of want devotional service right now, pure devotional service. But of course we cannot demand from Krishna, it's against the devotional principles to make a demand for Krishna. But anyway, he knows our desire. He said, why are you asking me? I already arranged for these things. So he knows what the living entity wants. And so he can... He will give. He says to Kadam, I've already given. He said, actually, the day after tomorrow, someone's coming with a very beautiful daughter to give to you. You spend 1,000 years asking. Was it 1,000 years or something, penance? Maybe you could have spent a lot less time, because Krishna said, I saw what you wanted. I could have arranged it. I arranged it for you. So anyway, Krishna will give you. He will relieve your frustration. Just like the man who wants money here. He's in distress and he's, where does money come from? This artha, a rich man in this world, where does he get his money from? He gets it from his last birth. From his dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The previous dharma gives him the artha in this life. Dharma, artha comes from dharma. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Just because you're a brain child and you can write books about business and things like that. Those rich people, it's not because they were successful in business because they were had a great business brain for it. Because they were in previous life, they were very dharmic. The artha comes from dharma. It doesn't come from anywhere else. So it's just their good fortune that they happen to be in that dharmic in their previous life and this life. Well, they write books and say this is how to do it. But not everybody can do it because they don't have the backing behind. They don't have the dharma. They're following the process, but a lot of them don't become rich. Only the people who write the books become rich. They're very expert. But that's due to their previous activity. You don't get it anyway. It's destined. Prabhupada gave an example of someone, and in India, he invented the, it was the radio, something like that. And Prabhupada said, but the British, because the British were ruling at that time, then they were working together. So the British scientist, he claimed, yes, we got this invention, but it's my invention. So the British Raj, they kind of pushed him up the front because he was British, and the Indian gentleman who had actually invented or discovered this, something to do with radio communication, they kind of played him down and said, look, you see, it's a British invention, and we thank our staff very much for assisting, but actually we did it. And so Prabhupada said, so it's cheating. It seems like it's cheating, right? So why is he, you know, he's cheating? Why he gets, you know, and Prabhupada said, no. He said the reason that that person became famous as being discovering this, the Englishman became famous for discovering this thing, he said, because of his previous karma. He was destined to get fame. The other guy discovered the thing, but he took it. And the other guy wasn't destined to get fame, even though he discovered it. So the British person, he got all the credit, although he didn't. But Prabhupada said he was due, that was coming to him. It was allotted, so therefore he got the fame. But when we think about it, we think, oh, poor guy, he discovered it, and the British Raj bullied him out the way and put him. But no, it was it was destined. So it may not be immediate. We have to learn to be patient. Rupa Goswami says patience and enthusiasm. If we're enthusiastic, but sometimes we're over-enthusiastic. We want it right now. Bhakti right now. But no, patience is there also. So Krishna has a much broader vision than we have. So he's interested in ourselves. So he's seeing on a much, otherwise, why Krishna is saying here that, you know, it's after thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani. Krishna is directing him, he's in his heart, he's directing him. But it's taken him thousands and thousands of births. But Krishna's looking after him because he was inquisitive, he was a jnani. But it took him thousands and thousands of births. And what was the result of that jnana after thousands and thousands? He comes to understand, Vasudeva Shavam, he surrenders unto him. So what is that? You spent thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani. You're coming to the point, Vasudeva Sarvam Krishna, then you surrender. What does it mean, sambandha? It's just the very beginning of devotional life. That thousands of thousands takes you to the beginning of devotional life. But here, as Prabhupada is emphasizing, if you meet a pure devotee, then the whole process is speeded up very rapidly. As rapidly as you want it to wind up, that Krishna will reciprocate. Prabhupada said that this verse that Krishna is speaking, after many, many, after thousands of births of being a jnani, they come to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendered him. Very rare soul. Prabhupada says, now I'm telling you this, I'm speaking. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're his eternal servant. And you should surrender unto him. Krishna is everything. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should surrender to him. He said, if you hear me and you follow my words and you surrender to Krishna, you jump over thousands and thousands of births. He said, because you got the conclusion of thousands and thousands that you're going to surrender to Krishna. I'm telling you, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You surrender, you skip thousands. So this is the mercy of a devotee. That's why it's this one moment's association with this so valuable of a devotee. And practically we see that's what's happened. What did Prabhupada say? Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, near his eternal servant. The first time you come into contact with a pure devotee. As sambandha. Then later on, you accept that, yeah, okay, here's some service. You want to carry the book bag out, we're going out on Sankirtan? I'll be there. Same day. This thousands and thousands and thousands of births business, you meet the devotee, same day. Not Sambandha, but Sambandha and Abhinaya. You get the process, you get engaged in service to Krishna. Any temple you go to, can you clean the pots? Can you help? So this is the mercy of a devotee. You skip millions and millions of births. It's another example. I'm thinking of another example. Oh yeah, that's right. I was just reading this last night, and then Pankajangri read something to me from Prabhupada. And, it was right in line with it. And Prabhupada was saying, it was a lecture, and he said that if you want to please someone, he said you please their child. You want to see a big man. So you go up and you play with the child, make him laugh a little bit. The more you please the child, the more the man is happy. Oh. And he said, you give some sweet. Really? Child is very happy. And then the father is very, very happy with him. Oh, very nice. He said, so for two pious lozenge, you can give to the kid. You can please the master. He said, otherwise it'll cost you $200 to please him. But you can do the $200 business with two pies. Why wait? So this is the advantage of a pure devotee. Immediately you can achieve that by the grace of a devotee. He will take you right to the lotus feet of Krishna. So you save all that millions and millions of births. So it can go on forever. You know, practically it is going on forever. Krishna is looking after our interest. So then he actually, slowly, he will help us to give up all of our desires. So it's not a big thing for Krishna. He can. When we understand this world is a miserable place, and when we want to get out of it, or even on a universal scale, then Krishna, he will just, it's a blazing fire of material existence of Krishna. He breathes in and all the universe is coming. He saves you from that frustration. Okay, everyone's frustrated in the material world. So Krishna can save them. He just breathes in, all the universe is going in his body. Saves them. But then again, he breathes them out again, you know. We're back in the fire, material fire again. Okay, relieve it. I don't know, why are you going to breathe us out again into the fire again, Krishna? He's saying, well, you want to. You have desires to come. You're not satisfied. You have desires to be fulfilled, so therefore you're coming out again. But if you give up your desires, then you will have you can stop this business of backwards and forwards. Just like the cowherd boyfriends were in the forest fire. There was a blazing fire of material existence. They're also praying to Krishna, 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 please. We're praying, Krishna, please get out of the material existence. But what is the difference between those cowboys and when we are calling for help for Krishna to extinguish this blazing fire of material existence? The cowboys were saying, Krishna, Krishna, please save us from this terrible, devastating fire. Because if we are killed, then we can't please you. The purpose of our existence is to please you and make you happy, Krishna. And if we die, you won't be happy. So please save us, because we want your happiness. When we're burning in the fire of material existence, please save me. I'm suffering so much. It's me who's unhappy. It's me who's suffering. Please save my distressful condition. The cowherd boys were saying, if we die, then you'll be unhappy, Krishna. Therefore, please save us. Don't let us die, because we don't want your unhappiness. Then Krishna says, oh, okay, you don't belong in the material world. So then you come out, you go back to Godhead. But as long as you're interested in your own happiness, then you'll be coming in and out of Krishna, the forest fire, it will never cease. So we become, learn the science of pleasing Krishna by the mercy of a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said this lifetime. Very easy. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Hare Krishna.